Wednesday, August the 4th, 2021, 16 minutes past the hour. If you've wanted to call in, I know we've had guests all morning. We thank Thunderbolt Patterson, Dr. Ron Arusi, superintendent from the Marion City Schools, and Dr. Michael McLeese, medical director at Marion Public Health, for being on, giving us a lot of information. And if you want to respond to any of that, this is your time, 740-383-9944. And because of all the guests this week, we are going to give away some tickets this hour, because we haven't had it. We're going to give away tickets both hours, a matter of fact, because we haven't had a chance to do that. So stay tuned for that. Glenn Koppel's with me. Glenn, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It was a good weekend.
Now, I hate right off the bat of the program here, right off the start. I've got to get into your noon program, which will be on again today, A Progressive Life with you and Dr. Feynman, which I do want to do the plugs. That'll be on at noon, Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman at 4 p.m., and then Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon at 6 p.m. tonight. But you and I had a conversation last week about more books being written about President Trump than about Abraham Lincoln. I said that.
Yeah.
And we also had a conversation about, in the 20th century, the effectiveness of presidents, and I said Trump and Obama were the only people who could not work with the other side. Now, we had that conversation. So I'm leaving here, and I turn on your show, The Beginning, to listen to you and Dr. Feynman. And Dr. Feynman, who obviously was not in on our conversation during our show, critiques what I was saying.
Okay.
Now,
He does listen.
So here's what I'm saying. I was not saying that. I'm not even sure how this was assumed, but I wasn't saying more books are going to be written about Trump in the next few years than about Abraham Lincoln. I think more books will be written in the next 100 years, much like, or 200 years, much like Lincoln. There's not a whole lot of Lincoln books being written today. And I think Trump books will die out, but he's a fascinating subject, like him or dislike him, and all the books won't be positive. But when people look at his finances, when people look at how he got elected, when people look at kind of an unorthodox presidency, when people look at the only man ever to be elected who was not military and never held a political office in his life, when people look at his family, I do believe it's a more complicated and intriguing story. Plus his life as a businessman and bankruptcies and television and all that. He just has a more interesting story than Abraham Lincoln. What happened at the Capitol, two impeachments. I mean, there's a lot to work with there.
Yeah, it's like it's more fun to talk about somebody that's unscrupulous than it is to talk about somebody that's doing good.
Well, he was impeached after he lost the election. That's never happened.
Yeah, and then impeached a second time. So
I wasn't.
That was the second time.
So I was not saying that. And also, an insurrection happened on his watch. COVID happened on his watch. He's forever going to be the first modern president during a pandemic. So I do think more books are going to be written. There's just more material. Abraham Lincoln books are essentially 90% Civil War books and slavery books.
Slavery books.
Right. So I think this will happen with Trump, and a lot of people feel this way. Phil Donahue has said the same thing to me, that he believes more books will be written about Trump because he's a fascinating subject.
Well, and we have more people that are more interested now. I mean, I think we have a more politically interested audience now. Plus, there are a lot more people to sell books to. But I was stunned. What did Dr. Feynman say? Over 1,000 books have been written about the Lincoln, I think he said.
Oh, yeah, a lot.
I was stunned at how many had been. And I don't think any of us know how many. People are going to get tired of hearing the same old rotten stuff about Trump. I at some point it's going to get tiring. So I don't know. I have
but
no
I
idea.
I guess what I'm saying is he will. There aren't a lot of books written about Clinton. There aren't a lot of books.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
I don't see a lot. I mean, if there have been, they are not great. Yeah. Outside of the books that they write themselves, even Watergate didn't spawn a ton of books. Certainly didn't pass, because the characters are not interesting. I mean, you just look at the tweets. That's a whole thing. The treatment of the media, that's a whole thing. Kim Jong, I mean, there's so much to remember in that four-year period.
Well, corruption always is more interesting.
I guess the point,
straightness.
Not so much than to relive the Trump presidency here. I guess the point is, I just think more books will be written about it as years go by.
I think I did not respond to when he said that because I have no idea. If I had a crystal ball and I knew the answer, I would have said something. But I was just stunned at how many had been written about Lincoln. And that's going to be a tough mark to beat. But
it'll be a tough mark, but I think it will happen. I think people thought that George Washington would never be passed, but he was.
It's still a guess, and we won't know until...
Right.
Neither one of us will be alive.
No, no.
The answer will come down.
All I was saying was, I was not referring to, like, the next 10-year period.
Okay.
It's not going to happen in that period, but...
No, it won't.
No.
It can't.
That's all I'm saying.
No publishing,
but that's,
yeah.
But that's what was said on your show.
Well, and now, like, my son has 10 books published already, and he just started writing... Well, he's been writing for a long time, but he's just started publishing about 3 years ago, and he has 10 books published already. With self-publishing and the ease of publishing, he could do it pretty quickly if he self-publishes. And with all those people that were involved, if they all self-publish something about him.
Plus, historians, I think, are going to study him, and when there is a Trump library and papers are released, and when he dies, a lot of stuff will come out.
Has anybody talked about a library for him?
No, but there'll be one.
He doesn't read. How in the world can he have a library? No, I'm sorry. That's terrible. I know. That's Dr. Feynman coming out.
In any event, the other subject that was a little more in-depth, just so we can get past this and start giving away stuff, was we were talking last week, and I said, in my lifetime and in my studies of history, and I like presidential history, that Obama and Trump were the only two presidents, in my opinion, who could not work with the other side, seemed to be absolutely aloof in working with the other side. That's just my feeling. And then I heard Dr. Feynman come on and say that I said that Reagan didn't get anything done. I feel Reagan got things done.
He got more done than Trump.
Yeah. Well, and he got more done than I think Obama with the other side. He and Tip O'Neill had a very, he worked with a Democratic House for a long, long time.
I once saw a list of all the things that Obama completed, and it was like 2 or 3 pages long, and they were all pretty major things.
But,
so,
but I'm not with sure the about Republican that. After the Democrats lost,
yeah, both. I mean, things that got done before and after. Most of them were done before.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They just, people have a heart. What they don't like is when I say Obama wasn't a schmoozer. But I even brought that up with Mary Ellen on Friday, and she said, I feel the same way. He just wasn't a good speaker.
I would say a great orator.
Could be.
Yeah.
But just not, he, in a room when he would invite the Republicans over, it just didn't happen. He couldn't.
That's why he had Biden.
yeah. Well, it just, okay. And the other thing was, Dr. Feynman, when I was bringing up Roosevelt, he was talking about how Roosevelt did have a majority, and that's why, a supermajority, and that's why he was able to push so much through. Well, the reason Roosevelt had that is because in those days there were moderates. But you have to remember when Dr. Feynman says he's looking at D's and R's, a lot of those D's that gave Roosevelt a supermajority were segregationist Southern Democrats in those days who wouldn't have voted for anything Roosevelt did had he been pro-civil rights. And I believe Roosevelt the man was pro-civil rights.
And he avoided the subject of civil rights.
Right, on purpose.
Yeah.
he did not sign a lynching, anti-lynching bill in because it could not get driven through the House and the Senate. Now, if the House and the Senate were so Democrat, and Democrat means liberal, how could the anti-lynching policy not get through? Because those Democrats were Southern Democrats, and they were not all for what Roosevelt was doing.
I'm not quite sure what you mean by Democrat means liberal.
Well, because what Dr. Feynman, it seemed to me, was referring to was that Roosevelt had people to work with because they were D's. They were Democrats. But in those days, you had moderate Democrats. And a moderate Democrat did not support civil rights.
Yeah, and he had moderate Republicans as well, which would give him a little bit more leeway because he could get Republicans on board.
And a lot of those Democrats did not support his New Deal. They didn't believe that that was the way to go.
I was never, and I said this last week, I was never more shocked with my grandparents than when my grandfather told me he hated Roosevelt.
So I guess what I'm saying is my evidence of Obama and Trump not being able to work with the other side is that no matter who was, they're people. We sometimes refer to them as, like, all Democrats are going to vote with Roosevelt. Well, no, they didn't, or they would have voted for the anti-lynching policy. But what I'm saying is Roosevelt, he was pushy. He did go meet with people and push them.
He was kind of the Lyndon Johnson of the 30s.
Well, and Lyndon Johnson had people to work with, so why did he have to break necks? But he did. Because
he liked it.
Right. Well, and it's just, and Kennedy had people, but Kennedy couldn't get anything done legislatively. So it's because these people might be very charismatic, Kennedy and Obama and Trump, and they are charismatic because they get people to follow them, but they don't seem to be good one-on-one with making deals.
I don't know if you're right or wrong. I don't know the people. I don't study history like you do. But in each case that you're talking about, these people were smart enough to get somebody in their administration, Kennedy, his brother, Obama, Biden, that were...
I think Kennedy got Johnson. I don't think brother was...
Well, his brother later on, maybe. But they found people that were the flip side of the coin and brought them on. And I think both of them were very intelligent to do that sort of thing. I think that happens with Republicans as well as Democrats. There are Republicans that couldn't get legislation done out of a wet paper bag, but they found somebody on the opposite side that could work with people. And I'm trying to think of the, and I got the person's, I can see the person in my head, but I can't.
Well, somebody said at one point that Roosevelt's philosophy of the presidency was him being president. And I believe that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, he was that.
He may not have, his wife kind of was the flip side of Roosevelt.
But I guess, so all I'm saying is anybody in any kind of legislative body, you have two theories of government as far as I'm concerned. You have somebody who feels, I'm either going to get it all or I'm not going to do it at all. I believe that's Obama. I believe that was Trump. I believe that was Kennedy to an extent. And then you have the type of people who realize, I can't get it all, but I'm willing to compromise to get things done. Even if I don't get everything I want done. I think that was Roosevelt. I think that was Johnson. I think that was Clinton. I think they were all very good at that. You either learn to compromise or you learn, you'll get some things done. You not like you won't get anything done, but you're going to get less done on the whole.
Okay.
So that's all I'm saying. But the idea that just because their party was in control didn't mean in those days that your party agreed with everything that you agreed with. That's more the case today. Today it's like that, for whatever reason. But in the 1940s, it was not that way at all.
No.
And even in the 70s, Nixon's party is the one who essentially threw him out of office.
And to bolster my point, Eisenhower got Nixon, and that was the flip side.
And that was a deal.
Yeah.
To make the Republicans.
Absolutely.
Because they didn't feel that Eisenhower was really a Republican or a Democrat.
No, he was, as a matter of fact, I think he at one point had registered as a Democrat.
Well, Truman was trying to recruit him as a Democrat.
That's right.
So they thought, well, we got to have a real Republican under this guy to keep him going. And Kennedy, you know, people might not like this, and it's tragic the way he went, but Roosevelt did not campaign for Kennedy. She wanted Adlai Stevenson in that
election. Is that right?
Yeah, in that primary.
Now,
she eventually campaigned when it was Kennedy and Nixon.
Right.
But she wanted Adlai Stevenson in the primary and even went to the Democratic convention to try to get Stevenson in. And Kennedy had to meet with her to kind of win her over.
That's interesting. Of all the people in politics that I would really, really like to meet, Eleanor Roosevelt is one of the top three.
Tough lady.
And smart lady. And the type of person that I'd like to be. She was concerned about her fellow Americans. So, and I'm not so certain that we find that easily within the politicians that are running right now.
So that's all I wanted to clear up.
Okay.
So if Dr. Feynman's listening, he can talk about that at the start of the program today. But that's I'm not saying he misrepresented that on purpose. It's just the 1940s aren't 2021, and all Democrats didn't vote for Democrats, and all Republicans. There was a whole lot of moderates who really did vote just what they thought.
Moderates on both sides, and that's kind of the people I was supporting when I supported Nixon.
Well, and a ton of Democrats, by the way, after Roosevelt, I think more Democrats supported Eisenhower than Truman.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. And so there you go.
Yeah. Now, I have a question to ask you.
Oh, go ahead.
Since you know so much about politics. I was watching Tim Ryan on Talking Heads this weekend, and I've met Tim a couple times. I've quite frankly never been impressed with his orator skills, but I like his ideas. But I have no idea who would run for his office if he becomes a senator instead of a legislator. Do you have any? What do you do in that case if you're running and you lose? Do you stay a congressman?
Well, if you don't resign and you're not up for re-election.
But nobody's really jumped in and said, well, I'm going to run for that legislative position that I know of.
Well, is he up?
He's announced that he's going to run for senator.
Right, but is his term up?
No.
Oh, so then he'll stay. Unless he resigns. And some do that, but not many.
Okay, all right, I got you.
But the interesting thing about, and then he would leave. And then, if he won.
Okay, if he wins, and nobody's running for, I mean,
well, then I think they have a runoff.
Is that what they do?
Well, it depends on the laws of the area. Some have a runoff, and then some parties are allowed to appoint some person to fill that term out. So I'm not sure which way it is for his seat, but it would either be one or the other.
So it might be DeWine or whoever is the governor would appoint somebody if he becomes senator.
Or his party. Because they held the seat.
Oh, it might be his party.
It just depends on what the rule is or the law is in that area. But I think the Democrats do have a problem right now in Ohio. Their bench is not deep. And this is becoming a problem because it did used to be deep. It was deep. But that generation now seems to be going on to other things. And I think the governor, and again, I'm not on Nan Whaley here, but it's shocking to me that a mayor is the front runner for governor.
Yeah.
That's shocking to me. That there's not a congressman, a senator, or a just somebody who's got huge name recognition who is running on the Democratic ticket for governor yet, and they've only got till December to register.
I think people have looked at the tea leaves and said, well, no Democrat's going to win governorship, so I'm not going to run for it. Now,
this time?
I may be wrong, but I think a lot of them would be scared off of, you know, if they have already are a senator or a congressman, why would you want to guess that you might beat DeWine or whoever the Republican
is? Well, again, I'm not saying Nan Whaley's bad at all. Mm-mm. All I'm saying is if the Democrat wins the governorship this time, it's not going to be so much because they are great. It's going to be because the Republicans are in horrible turmoil right now on the governor's side.
Yeah.
DeWine is he's involved in a First Energy scandal. His own party's turned their back on him because of how he handled COVID. He's got a primary challenger who has Trump's campaign manager running his campaign. It's tough, and you know what? DeWine is not supported by Trump at this point, and my question is, can DeWine win a... No sitting governor in Ohio has been primaried since the 1930s, so that should tell you something.
Well, my guess is that because he is not... I guess you would not consider him a Trump governor...
What of 4 years ago, though?
He did
campaigns for him up in Cleveland and things of that nature.
But Ohio is a Trump state, and I don't see it moving very fast the other way. So if he had been a Trump governor, I think it would have been a hands down. But because he's going to have to fight that battle... going to be a mess.
He's going to have trouble with the 30% that are Trump voters, and then he's going to have trouble with about the 47% that are Democratic voters. 47 plus 30 is more than 50. And that leads to Governor DeWine getting in trouble.
But I think Republican voters recently have shown that if there's an R after your name, you have a better chance that they'll vote for you, because I've heard an awful lot of them say when people are not happy with their candidate and news people ask them, well, are you going to vote for the Democrat? Well, heck no, I'm not going to vote for the Democrat.
Yeah.
I'll vote for, like, who was it that voted for... the third party president
and I think that could happen here too.
Yeah.
But the problem is DeWine's got huge name recognition, and his name almost trumps the party. And I think people who are angry with him for what he did about COVID and what he's doing about First Energy know his name.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be so much, well, I'm just going to vote for the R. I think they would just not vote for...
I think we're in a world right now where people vote for R's or D's, and to hell with
them. I don't think DeWine. I think he's an exception to the rule, because I've never seen a governor so disliked because of a pandemic. He lost a huge base, which was business owners that normally support the Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they would vote for him, come love nor money.
Well, we're going to find out.
We're
going to
find
months.
Out. But you know what? Here's a little Ohio trivia with 20 minutes left to go. Now, this will get you into a drawing, and we're going to draw at the end of the hour. Now, this hour, we only got 20 minutes, so you can get in on a drawing. Ooh. Here and possibly win. Name the last five governors of Ohio, including the current governor. 740-383-9944. So you can count DeWine, so scratch that off your list. You've got DeWine, so now you just got to go back four governors. Who have the last four governors been?
I can go back three. I can't go back four.
Oh, can't go back four?
Uh-uh.
Really?
Mm-mm. I wasn't living in Ohio, I don't think, when the... Or I was, but it was at the end of his reign.
Can you name the last four governors of Ohio? You don't have to give me DeWine, so that would be five. Who are the last four governors of the state of Ohio? 740-383-9944. You'll go into a drawing. We'll draw at 11 o'clock here, and you can win a pair of tickets to Zumbezi Bay, the Wilds, the Columbus Zoo, whatever you would like. Who are the last four governors of the state of Ohio? 740-383-9944.
While we're waiting for our caller, I have some kind of trivia.
Oh, go right ahead.
Last week you were saying that the people that went from Texas to Washington, D.C. Had broken the law and that you didn't like people that break the law. You were opposed to people that break the law. So I went and looked up some of the Texas laws. Did you know it's illegal to walk barefoot in Texas? It's also... you cannot own the Encyclopedia Britannica in Texas. You can't stand and drink in Texas. These are laws. You can't eat your neighbor's garbage in Texas. There is no Lindberger's cheese sold on Sunday. You can't milk somebody else's cow. You can't, and this is my favorite, you cannot shoot a buffalo from the second story window. It's okay first story window, but not from the second story window.
From the first story, you can nail
it. It's okay. You have to give, if you're going to rob somebody, you have to give them a 24-hour notice.
That's good.
And you're not allowed, male or female, to flirt in the state of Texas. This is a great one. In Texas, it's not required to have a windshield on your car.
Really?
But it is required to have a windshield wiper.
Well, there you go.
So, anyway, okay, I just
safety
thought
first.
I just thought I'd bring
no, those are, you know, and there's one in Ohio about Sunday. I can't remember. You're not supposed to do anything on Sunday or not supposed to work, and it's a law.
Yeah.
And it's on the books, and nobody changes it.
The blue laws.
Yeah. And clearly nobody pays attention.
Well, the crazy thing, when I lived in Indiana, and that's when I started drinking because I was 21. I probably started a little before that, but I looked up all the laws about drinking in Indiana, and when I was living in Indiana, it was illegal for a woman to bring your drink from the bar to your table.
Really? Well, and let me just go back to clarify this. I'm not so angry about the people in Texas breaking the law, because I don't think you should ever, because people will twist this. I'm not saying murder, rape, stealing, theft. I'm not talking about that is okay. But the type of law that was broken, you know what? Sometimes people do things... that they feel is right, that are contradictory to the laws. Now, that I think is okay. You're going to pay the consequences,
yep.
But it's okay. What my problem with this Texas thing is that they took not only is it a law, they took an oath not to do this. And I don't like that. Because I think it just leads to anarchy of this country. Now, hopefully it doesn't, this idea of handling things doesn't spread this way, but it just, anybody can walk out. The reason they make these politicians take oaths is because they want you to fulfill your job, even if it's not what you agree with. And you have to work within the system, not try to bust the system.
Okay, I imagine that people that would... that would argue with you about that would say there are two sides to, you know, they are, the oath that they took has two sides to it, and they were, and I don't know what the oath is, and maybe I'll look that up and bring that in next week, but it may say something to the effect that you will support your people, and they truly believe that they're supporting their people, anyway, I just don't think that...
But, see, this is where I get crossways on this. They can vote no. Now, they know they're going to lose. I agree with you. But they, if they are truly in representation of their people, then vote no.
Well, and why are they going to vote? Why are they going to lose? They're going to lose because of the gerrymandering and because of laws that they're making to make Democrats lose. And there is a point where you've got to fight fire with fire, and that's what they're doing.
But at what point do we have to just say, we're going to have to work within this system?
Well, nobody's doing it, so...
Right.
Republican or Democrat.
So. Right.
Now, I believe that they are working within the system much better than the Republicans are working. When McConnell said, I'm not going to allow anything to be done under a Democratic president, or I'm not going to allow anything to be done that would support the Democratic side of the ledger, he's not working within the system. He's working outside of the system.
Do the people in Texas care that these people left?
Yes. At least from watching on television, they care a lot.
But why don't they run down to the state house then there in Texas and tell them, we don't want this?
I think there are an awful lot of them that are doing that very thing.
Then that's how you get it done.
Well, and they wouldn't run down to the state house if those legislators hadn't said, to heck with it, we're going to Washington, D.C. to see what we can do. Now, that's another side of that. They are doing their job. They're trying to they're trying to sway national legislation to allow more Texans to be able to vote.
Well, why aren't we having that? Because of Manchin in West Virginia?
We are kind of creeping that way. But apparently, yes, Manchin and what's her name from Missouri? What's her name? You know who I mean.
So, okay. Again, they're going to hold it up. They held up the last...
Maybe not. There's a lot better chance now than if they hadn't gone to Washington, D.C.
Well, if they do hold it up, and then these people got to go back home. They're going to get locked up, and nothing's going to change anything.
And I looked that up. I tried to find anywhere where there is a law that says they have to do that. I could find no law that they're breaking. Now, maybe there is one, and it may be real, you know, vague. There are rules, Senate or Congress rules in Texas that say that they should be there. But there are no laws. So I don't think they're breaking the law. I think they're breaking the rules.
Well.
And if they're only breaking the rules, then it's even more civil disobedience.
Well, see, I think back to when Obama was trying to get Obamacare passed.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that was so divisive. And the Democrats knew they were going to get it done because they had the votes. And the Republicans were...
No, they didn't know they were going to get it done.
Well, they felt confident.
They were hopeful.
And they were right. But
without McCain, it would have not been done.
No, not that one. I'm talking about the initial vote.
Oh, okay.
Way back in 2010 or whatever it was. But he was confident he could get it done in that first 2 years because he had the House and the Senate full of Democrats.
Yeah.
And he felt he could do it. And the Republicans were ticked because they knew that's what he was doing. And initially, probably, they all campaigned on it and why they won the House and the Senate. They won both chambers during his presidency because of that decision. So, based on that, what if the Republicans who did not like Obamacare just would have left and not shown up to vote? Then the Democrats couldn't have taken the vote.
I'm not sure what the... what the rules are. They're different in every single house, from state to state, and even between the House and the Congress and the Senate and the Congressman. So I'm not sure what the rule law is.
I don't think you could take a vote with over 40% of the people missing.
I don't know. Might be able to. And maybe that's why they didn't leave, because they wanted at least...
But, I mean, let's say that would happen. Now, would that be the way to handle it?
If you believed and you thought your parishioners, boy, there goes, that's what happens when you're a minister's kid. If you believe that your constituents, that's the word I was looking for, believe that's the way to go, then I'm with them to do that.
But then what about the constituents of the majority? And it does end up being the majority, because that's why you're not showing up, because you know it's going to go that way. Why do their constituents not get a say?
Their constituents do. They've got the majority.
Yeah, but you're holding them up.
Yeah, you're holding them up. And that's what government's all about. It's messy. You hold up one side when you disagree with them, and you vote with them when you approve it. And there, it's always going to be messy.
Well, going into the Trump, and I, you know, back when we, on Insurrection Day, January 6th, we were taking a vote in the Senate to
ratify the election.
Yeah. What if the Republicans just didn't show up?
It wouldn't have made any difference.
I think it would have. I think Pence had to...
Well, why weren't they smart enough not to show up?
Well, maybe they wanted to keep Trump in office.
I don't think that would have made any difference. I really think in that situation, not showing up would have sealed the deal. Well, and it was just a foregone conclusion. It was also... That's why having the Electoral College and this kind of sham
of voting... But wasn't that what Trump was doing?
What?
He was telling Pence, don't ratify it. So Pence obviously had a play in this.
Yeah, and...
What if Pence just said, you know, I'm staying home?
Yeah, I don't know what would have happened. That would be a great question to ask on a Sunday morning show.
Well, but you know, that's what I feel like is going on here. In Texas, I feel that you vote your conscience, vote your constituency, but just not showing up so you are blocking something, I don't think is right.
But they did show up. They showed up in Washington, D.C. to get those really horrible laws overturned by a national mandate.
But what if... all I'm saying, Pence played a part in that, had to have, because Trump was so adamant about him not doing whatever he needed to do.
Well, and, thank goodness he had some scruples.
Yeah, but you know, in the end, what if he really truly believed that the election was stolen?
I really don't think that would have changed anything. I really don't. Maybe it would have.
Well, I don't know why they were after him.
Because they're rotten people.
Yeah, but it had something that had to do with him. That if he didn't do this...
It's that white hair with the fly in the middle of it.
May have been. May have been. Boy, we don't know who the last four governors of Ohio
That's
were.
That's pretty interesting.
Boy, 55 minutes.
You haven't even had a whisper.
Not even a whisper on this one. We're giving away Zumbezi Bay tickets, Columbus Zoo tickets, Wilds tickets, and we haven't had one entry yet. 52 and a half minutes past the hour. Who were the last four governors of the state of Ohio before Mike DeWine? 740-383-9944.
I have a question that you might be able to answer.
Maybe.
Since you know a lot about Zumbezi Bay and those places. Are any of those three places, Zumbezi Bay, the zoo, and the wilds, do they have I have a new puppy dog. Do they have like a kennel where you can put your puppy dog? We can't leave our brand new puppy dog at home.
I don't know if they have a kennel or not, to be honest. I have not been down there in a while.
Yeah, I don't really want my puppy dog running free out there with the lions.
Yeah,
maybe lunch.
I would imagine the zoo would have a place, but I don't know.
I don't know. I'm going to look that up somewhere.
Yeah, well, if anybody knows, give us a call.
740-383-9944.
Yeah, you might win a ticket. Tell us who the last four governors are. Oh, maybe somebody does know all who right. The last four governors are. All right, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, do you think it's fine when your state loses all the electric that you, if you're a politician, you take off and don't try to get the thing solved and you don't want to deal,
Cruz,
you don't want to suffer through it?
Yeah. Are we talking about the hurricane?
He's talking about Cruz leaving town when it got cold and nasty.
When they lost their electricity, when they had that cold spell.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, during a snowstorm.
Because he didn't.
Yeah, not a hurricane, snowstorm.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Well, as far as I know, yes, because I don't know that there's any law that would have prevented him from doing that.
Well, if they had a vote.
Well,
if they had a vote, he should have stayed.
Yes.
If they had a vote, he should be there. I think we're talking apples and oranges, and I defended Ted Cruz on that back when it happened, because, you know, he was getting his family out of a bad situation, and anybody has the right to do that. It had nothing to do with politics. If Ted Cruz had been John Jackson living on Bexley Street in Texas, it wouldn't have even been a story.
Well, it wouldn't have been as bad if he was just a regular person, but, you know, when you're part of the government of Texas, and you don't stick around to try to get...
Well, he's not the governor,
to try to get him out of the situation?
I agree with her caller.
No, her caller is absolutely right. Now, wait a second. He's not... Ted Cruz is a senator from Texas. He's not the governor. He could not have done anything single-handedly to help a snowstorm.
He could put his pressure on the powers that
yeah,
be.
Exactly.
The governor?
Yeah. Maybe.
A senator and a... So
of
you're
course, that governor's not smart enough Sherrod to know.
So we should blame Sherrod Brown every time DeWine does something we don't like, because Sherrod Brown should go down and pressure him.
Well, I think Sherrod Brown does pressure him.
Well, he should be there to, you know, to pressure him, to help, or yeah. to something.
Yeah, I
just don't, I never understood that story. I thought that was a cheap shot at Ted Cruz, and I'm not saying that people like Ted Cruz. John Boehner hated Ted Cruz.
Everybody hates Ted Cruz.
But you know what? There wasn't one thing in that story that had to do with politics, except that Ted Cruz is a political official.
And yes, he has power that he could...
Ted Cruz, he's not going to be there for you in the long run.
Well, I don't know. Is he supposed to go... I don't know what he was supposed to do, I guess. What was Ted Cruz supposed to do during that snowstorm?
Be there to support his people and to
get...
How?
By pressuring the government to do something about it.
Pressuring who? The governor?
Yeah.
Okay, because that,
whoever.
That always works.
Well, I'm not saying it would have worked.
What way?
He sure couldn't do anything from Mexico.
He couldn't do that from Mexico? He couldn't call the governor? He has to go to his office and shake him by the collar?
Well, when you're out in the sun, laying back in the sand, sometimes you don't think about things like that.
I don't know that there was ever an oath taken, thou shalt stay during snowstorms.
Yeah, I think there probably was.
Well, I don't know if they broke any laws, but, you know, to me, that just shows you what kind of person he is.
You know what? What about Florida? When there are hurricanes in Florida and they say, get out, evacuate, go. If you're a senator or a congressman and you go, is that abandoning your people because they all don't leave?
So if you're police and you're part of the city, you just up and go and automatically leave everything?
No, I think they take an oath,
you know,
too, police officers
and
firefighters.
And emergency person, you know, they stay.
Not because they take an oath.
Well, so does the governor.
That not to stay.
They all take the similar oath that says to protect, and it
just shows what's right, you know.
I think very rarely do governors leave, but I do think that senators and congresspeople do, because they don't control the state. They just vote.
You mean the federal senators? And,
yeah.
Or
yeah,
not
yeah.
the state?
Well, we can't see what his people's going through if he doesn't stay.
Just turn on MSNBC. They were showing it all the time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling in.
Now, see, there, and you know you don't agree with that. I've heard you say you don't agree with that, the fact that they jumped on him for that.
No, I thought it was kind of a cheap shot, but I understand what where the caller's coming from. I think he was stupid.
But he's not a state senator.
No.
He has nothing. To do with that state.
He has political power that they use.
Oh, gee,
no, they have political power that they use wherever they want to use it, you know.
Oh, it's crossfire here this morning on WWGH Radio. Go ahead, caller.
We're going to get the governor thing off the table. Before DeWine, there was Kasich.
Right.
Strickland.
Right.
And Taft. And then Voinovich left office early because he won the Senate. So there was a lady in there for like a year or so, but Voinovich left office because he was elected to the U.S. Senate.
Hmm. Now, hold on, let me double check this.
That's your other trivia.
But we don't know the lady.
Yeah, we gotta figure out what this lady, make sure, because I don't even know if she was there that long, to be honest.
Yeah, she was there maybe a year.
Was it a year, you think? Let's take a look here.
You know what's while he's looking, you know what's interesting is that if the governor of New York gets whatever it's called.
Well, everybody's calling on him now to go, including the president.
Yeah. So if he leaves, there's a woman that's going to take over, and she and the governor don't get along very well. I love it.
Well, does that mean will his brother stay on CNN?
Well, that's a good question, too.
Well, I know he isn't commenting on it, which I think is brave of him. I think that's good.
Yeah, he should keep out of it.
How long was she in there?
Okay.
She was only in there 10 days.
So that counts, though, right?
10 days.
I thought it was a year, but that's okay.
No, ten. So who was she?
Nancy something or other.
Nancy. Well, you know, we'll hold it over. We'll see if anybody knows this woman's name.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Going to break.
Performing the fast food song.
Oh, there's one song that you like. I feel that, you know, fast foods have ruined the world.
Oh.
On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there's McDonald's. By the Tomb of King Tut, there's a Chuck full of nuts and McDonald's. At the Scala, they sing by a big Burger King where the styrofoam boxes go sweet. What's the use? What's the hell? I just heard Taco Bell went and franchised the wing at the Louvre.